Sports Radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios. John Reed, Cody McClure, Cam Black. For the next 3 hours, we will talk sports and other things as we get you to the weekend. Which every day basically feels like the weekend, but we're almost there, officially, as we get you to the weekend. How are we today? Thumbs up from Cameron. Cody, how are you?
Hello there, John. It's good to be here. It's good to be anywhere. How are you?
I am doing solid.
As opposed to liquid. That's good.
A little gassy. Am I right?
Did you have some beans for breakfast?
No.
That would be a very British thing to do. Do you know they eat beans for breakfast over there? Beans. It's weird to me. Most people don't eat beans for breakfast. You don't see that here. It's a big thing in England.
Okay.
They have beans for breakfast. I feel like that's just committing to a bad start to the day.
I would imagine that would upset your stomach, but maybe if you eat them all the time, you get used to them. I don't know.
By noon, you're like, you know, you got a business meeting or something over in, I don't know, Parliament. And it is, oh, geez, Tommy, I got a little gassy after breakfast. I got so many beans in me.
I had a dream last night.
Isn't that crazy?
I got a dream last night that you were going to start the show with a bunch of impressions.
Really?
Yeah.
That was just a British guy.
I had done one. I did an impression about something that was on topic. So then you went through like five different impressions of random things. I was like, why are you doing this? Like, well, if you're going to do impressions, I'm going to do impressions. And I was just like, well, mine had something to do with the content. And yours was just you trying to highlight all of your impressions.
Yeah. Maybe Tone, it wasn't a dream, you know? Maybe it was something we were talking about in the old country.
It's weird, but that's what happened last night.
Yes. Very weird.
I woke up and I was like, man, Cody, those damn impressions.
Yeah. Trying to just stay on topic, and I'm just a loose cannon over here.
It's funny that we start the show that way.
Yeah, didn't even expect to. But, you know, we were talking
about
beans.
Maybe it was inception. Maybe I put it in your mind. Maybe it was actually your dream. I went in your dream.
Maybe. I don't think you were in my dream because I did have a significant dream last night, but can't really talk about it. Well, I guess I could talk about it. She probably doesn't listen to the show, but it was one of those kind of dreams. A girl I knew from back in the day.
How long back in the day?
For some reason, we were reconnected, and I, it was...
How long back in the day?
We got it on. I don't know. A girl I've always known from back home.
Kind of strange, but okay.
Yeah, well, I saw a picture of her like on Instagram yesterday.
So she was in your mind.
Yeah, you know how it just takes one little, you know.
Fair enough.
And we've had like, you know, when I go home, sometimes I'll see her.
Okay.
From time to time, you know, she's, you know, just.
When you say see her, you mean?
Yeah, just usually just see her. Just we'll go out and have some drinks or something, and you know, it's not really that kind of a relationship usually, but.
Okay. But in your mind.
But there have been a few moments there.
Oh, okay.
It's always been in my mind.
So it's like you're like Jim and Pam a little bit.
Yeah.
The audience is watching, waiting. Are they? Will they or won't they? You keep getting close.
She's not like someone that I actively want or anything.
Yeah, you just
it's
have
just that when I'm
fantasies
home.
Fantasies about her when at night. When
no,
sleep.
It's just that when I'm home, occasionally I'll see her and it's like, oh, hey, yeah. And you know, like, oh, wouldn't be bad, you know? But I love it. It was a weird dream.
Okay.
But, yeah, anything can trigger a dream. I saw her, like, Instagram story, and that was like, you know.
What was she doing in her Instagram story?
Not what she was doing in the dream. Not what she was doing in the dream.
Fair enough.
I can't describe the thing she was doing in the dream. You ever have those?
Dreams? Yeah, I have dreams.
Nah, you know what I mean. Just... Weird dreams like that?
Like dirty dreams?
Yeah.
No, I don't have those.
Yeah. Cam? Yeah, Cam says yes.
He did not say yes. He just shrugged
his shoulders. He's like, yeah.
No, I don't have those.
Well, speaking of dreams and beans, now that we're past that.
Happy birthday? Is that your segue to your early birthday?
Oh, no. That's
tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
I know it's tomorrow, but this is your birthday show.
I'm a little nervous, I got to be honest.
About your birthday?
It's
or?
My first year off Facebook, and I don't know if my third grade teachers are going to actually tell me happy birthday this year. I got a couple of aunts who used to tell me strictly on Facebook. I don't know if they're going to – are they going to call now?
I took my birthday off of my Facebook for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
And none of them came through with the birthday wish. They didn't know. None of my extended family called. My brother didn't call. My nephew didn't call.
Yeah.
None of those people came through.
I'm kind of hoping to cut down on the calls if possible anyway.
I mean, you don't have to take it off Facebook. You're off Facebook, but that's what I did.
Yeah, that's why I deleted it. Because, you know, I figure if anybody is going to tell me happy birthday, it'll be people that I interact with, you know, typically in my life. I don't need Sandy from Facebook, you know, to tell me happy birthday. You know, if she wanted to reach out, if she really cared, she would reach out at other times instead of once a year.
Yeah.
So, you know, anyway. But, yeah, that's tomorrow. So what do you have? What do you have going on?
For the weekend, nothing. I got nothing going on.
I don't think many people do.
TV, sports, might do some push-ups.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know, maybe.
What kind? Just regular?
Yeah.
You ever do the triangle ones?
No.
It really just builds the...
Just regular push-ups.
The obliques.
Okay.
Or I don't know what that's called.
That's not an
tricep.
Oblique.
Yes,
that's,
tricep.
That is the tricep.
What are the obliques? Is that in here? Is that your chest muscles?
I'm not a body guy. The same way I'm not a geography guy, I don't do
anatomy
parts of the body as well. Location of the body.
Yeah.
Geography of the body.
Well, I don't know. Hopefully it'll be a good weekend. Hopefully everybody will find something to do. It should be nice again this weekend. Weather-wise.
Yeah. What do we have as the biggest sports story of the day today? Do we have anything? I mean, WrestleMania is this weekend, so I'll at least have that to watch. I'm looking forward to 2 days of WrestleMania. 2 days.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that.
I mean,
I don't know if I'd call it the biggest sports story.
We could talk some WrestleMania today.
I mean, we might at some point.
What are your favorite WrestleMania moments? Your favorite WrestleMania matches? We could just do a whole WrestleMania show, really.
Okay.
Maybe I could talk WrestleMania pretty much all day.
Well, at least at the very least, throw it on a power rankings.
Yeah.
Top WrestleMania moments.
Personally, or just the actual best?
You can do it however you want.
I always have trouble with that.
You always go and try to get bogged down with the minutia too much.
The minutia?
We get boggled down with the minutia, the details. You're always, now before we do anything, you got to hammer down the details rather than just going.
Yeah.
Just go.
Well, I don't want people to say this is a trash list.
Well, then you just tell them, in my opinion.
Then they say, well, your opinion is trash. And I don't like to hear that.
Just
hurts.
Tweet it out. Tweet something controversial out. Hit mute conversation. Let people argue to themselves.
That's typically the best way to do it.
You don't have to mute the people. Just mute the conversation. You'll no longer get any notifications from it.
You know, maybe that should have been what I was doing all along. I always just mute the people.
Yeah.
Or block them.
Yeah. You don't have to do that. It's just if you post something controversial or you get tagged with something controversial or people arguing with you in the thread back and forth, just hit mute conversation and it goes away. You don't have to worry about it anymore.
I do like blocking the people that say mean things, though.
If they say mean things, sure. But because if it's just a disagreement, you can mute the thread and you don't have to worry about it again.
Then they're I don't really want to hear what they have to say anyway.
Well, that's fine.
If they're that opposite from what I think.
If people are opposite, there's no reason to block just if they're opposite of how you think. If they're really mean about it, then yeah, like, I mean, there's no point in me having to put up with you being mean to me.
If your take is completely opposite of mine, I'm going to assume that you're just wrong.
Okay,
I don't want to read the things you say in the future.
Okay, that's fine.
I don't usually block those people. I only put the block on if they're really mean.
Okay.
And some people are really mean.
So we got WrestleMania this weekend. I thought what the Chiefs did with Sammy Watkins was a interesting move. The Chiefs had $171 in salary cap. They restructured the last year of Sammy Watkins' deal. They bring him back. They open up a little cap space. But it's led me to think about the upcoming NFL season and the college football season. And we'll dive into that next. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
American Environmental is an industrial.
All right, the Kansas City Chiefs reworked Sammy Watkins' deal. Opened up some cap space, kept him on the team. They're still paying him a pretty good salary for what he did in the regular season. His new deal has a maximum value of $16 million. I believe it was $21 million prior to this. But it includes $7 million in incentives and contains a no-trade clause. So those are the reasons that I guess he is willing to do it. It's like, hey, I get to be on the Chiefs. You can't trade me. I'm going to be on this team. I get to run it back. The move creates $5 million in salary cap space for the Chiefs. Some of the thought process coming out of Kansas City is, well, when you look at what Kansas City is returning, Kansas City is going in with a certain idea of let's keep the squad together. The Chiefs' offense, that was, you know, best in the NFL last year when it had to be. Might not score more points than Baltimore in the regular season, but in the playoffs when it was time to be the best offense, the Chiefs had the best offense. Cody, they are now returning 10 of their 11 starters, 5 of their top 6 leading rushers, 8 of their top 9 receivers, 6 of their top 7 offensive linemen in terms of snap numbers, their offensive coordinator, and Andy Reid.
Who are they not returning on offense?
I'm sure there's lineman there. There has to be a lineman.
Is it the good lineman?
All four.
He's getting old, isn't he?
Who?
What is it, Schwartz or something?
I don't know.
71.
Cam, see if you can find the one guy that's going to be gone.
Is it Mitchell Schwartz?
10 of 11 starters. I mean, I know Mahomes is there. They have all four of their receivers back. Kelsey's there. Running backs are still there. So I'm assuming it's just leaving.
He's 30. He's still there.
I'm assuming it's just leaving an offensive lineman there. I'm assuming. But they are going with the route of let's just run it back. No time to really bring in new pieces to learn the system because, you know, OTAs are going to be limited this year. Time to gel with new team and new players going to be limited. You've seen the Titans kind of go with that same model. The Titans, they lost their starting right tackle, but they brought back their backup right tackle, Dennis Kelly, who had started games for them. So the Titans are going to be the same way on offense. They are going to have pretty much all 11 people back as well. The only thing they're going to be replacing, you know, from the point where Delanie Walker got hurt, obviously he's gone, but he didn't play the last half of the season anyways. And they're going to run it back with a team that's very familiar as well. Whereas you take a team like Baltimore, you take a team like them and you look and say, well, you've added some new pieces, especially on defense. You're shuffling things around on offense. Can we expect rookies and new free agent signings to make as big of an impact in 2020 as years past? Do you think there's anything to this, Cody, in terms of continuity? Or will these teams be able to just say, you know what, we'll figure it out?
I mean, I think that offense is going to be really good still. But I think Kansas City, I don't know if they can – it's hard to run it back, you know, and go back-to-back. But that – looks like it should still be the best offense in the league. It's not really aging other than Sammy Watkins. I mean, you got a lot of young pieces there. It's not like you got a bunch of old veterans. I imagine they're going to be just as good as they were this past year.
You don't usually get this with Super Bowl champions. Usually Super Bowl champions have to make tough decisions. They have to replace people. They don't get a chance to run things back basically as is. And, you know, not only did they keep 10 of their 11 starters together. Cam, have you found the one starter gone yet or no? See if you can find. I'm assuming
yeah,
it's
not. I think it's one of the linemen. I'm double checking. They kept changing their lineup a little bit.
Okay. But not only are they keeping all those players, they're also keeping their offensive coordinator and head coach. Like, there's no turnover.
Yeah. Their offensive coordinator should have gotten a job somewhere probably, but he didn't.
Whereas if you just looked and compared, you know, 2 years ago when the Patriots beat the Rams, you know, at the very least, they lost Gronkowski, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the very least, they no longer had a guy who made some really big plays for them across their career, and that was a big loss. And, you know, I don't think the Patriots of 2019 ever really recovered from not having a big-time tight end because they had a big-time tight end. Sometimes they had two big-time tight ends, you know, for the last really 12 years, 11 years.
Yeah, and they were getting older, too, whereas this sure. Kansas City team is not very old.
No, I mean, I was surprised.
Average age of the offense, I think, is pretty young.
I was really surprised to see how old Sammy Watkins is.
He seems like the veteran there.
Right.
And he's probably – how old is he? Well, he was playing in
I mean, if you think about it, you might come up with the proper answer. But the point is, your snap reaction is, yes, Sammy Watkins has been around forever. Watkins is a veteran.
Did he play with Taj Boyd?
I'm sure he did because he's 26. So, I mean, he's not.
Oh. Well, he's not old at all.
That's what I'm saying. But, like, you hear Sammy Watkins, and I was thinking, yeah, I mean, it's crazy that they're giving this, you know, 30-year-old wide receiver $17 million. But then you're like, wait, he's 26. Sammy Watkins is 26. He turns 27 in June. He's the same age as Tyreek Hill, comparatively speaking.
How is that even – it seems like he's been around forever.
That's what I'm saying. Like, whenever I was reading the story about him restructuring his deal, I'm like, yeah, Watkins, who is 26, you know, like, he didn't have a lot of luck in the regular season outside of week one against Jacksonville, but they pointed out, you know, AFC Championship and Super Bowl, he came to play. He showed up in the Patriots AFC Championship last year, too. They're basically like, this guy's a big-game wide receiver, and when teams focus on Tyreek Hill – in these big moments, Watkins has always came through. So we're paying him. And the GM said it. We're paying Sammy Watkins for the big games. DeMarcus Robinson, Mecole Hardman. Those guys are fine the regular season. But when it comes time to go to war, it comes time when the bullets are flying, to use bad metaphors about sports and warfare. Like, you could trust Sammy Watkins in your foxhole. Like, that guy's coming up with big plays. And they're like, you know what? Let's just give him. Let's pay him. Let's get an extra $5 million. We'll try to spread that around with some depth. But let's keep Sammy Watkins. Let's keep this entire core together on offense. And let's go back. Let's run it back. Let's try to win a Super Bowl in an offseason where these guys bringing in new players are going to struggle.
Yeah, he only played 3 years at Clemson from 11 to 13.
But, I mean, it feels like he's been around forever. Like, I mean, it feels like even in the NFL, he's been around since longer than 2014. Like, you know, he bounced around from Buffalo to the Rams to the Chiefs, but I mean, like, it seems as if he had.
I guess he was 20 when he got drafted.
Yeah.
And he's, he's been in the league 6 years.
No, like I said, it obviously makes sense when you start thinking about it.
Yeah.
But just when I saw that, I was like, wow.
People always talk about him like he's washed up, like he's old.
Well, he gets banged up. He'll have some lower extremity issues, but like I said, you know, this was a guy. I think the problem with Watkins, Cody, is that he was expected to be so good so early, right? Didn't Buffalo like trade up to get him?
He was so good so early.
I mean, but like he was supposed to be like this best receiver in the league type of thing. So we've just known about him even from his like rookie year. He has been on the radar. He came in with high expectations, and
yeah,
you know,
one of those guys we always followed.
Yeah, he went fourth overall.
They traded up to get him, too, yeah. I'm pretty sure. So, like, you know, his first rookie season, he had, you know, almost 1,000 yards and 6 touchdowns. His second year, he had 1,000 yards and 9 touchdowns. So, like, he busted onto the scene.
But he hasn't replicated that since.
And, you know, a couple of those seasons shortened to injury. 2016, 8 games. 2018, 10 games.
Mm-hmm. 2017, he did have 8 touchdowns, but only
sure.
593 yards.
Yeah, I mean, like he caught some touchdowns and made a couple big plays, but for the most part was non-existent. So, you know, you hear that name and you're thinking, ah, well. But then you see him at Kansas City and, you know, he had 3 touchdowns week 1 against the Jaguars last year. 180 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
He finished the season with 3 touchdowns.
Yeah. That was a big game, though.
673 yards and 3 touchdowns, which means basically for the rest of the season, he had what? Basically, let's just call it 500 yards.
And no touchdowns.
And no touchdowns. But the Chiefs are betting on two things. One, that he's a big game player. And two, continuity. We're not going to have time to break in new people on this offense. We got to hit the ground running. OTAs aren't going to go off. Like, because, you know, Roger Goodell says the season's going to start as planned. That's his expectation right now. Which means at the very least you have to think the OTAs might be a little scattered if you're trying to kick the season off. You know, August for preseason, September for regular season. Maybe they shorten the preseason even more this year. I don't know. Maybe the players don't play in the preseason. The good players. Like, maybe no good players play in the preseason at all. You have to bet on continuity, and that's what the Chiefs are doing.
Mm-hmm.
We'll switch. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think that offense is going to be just as good.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if – that doesn't necessarily mean that they can run it back just because, you know, there's other factors. I mean, teams are going to be different. We'll see how they are on defense and all that. But as far as that offense, I don't see any reason why it would regress.
Yeah, I mean, running it back has good things and also bad things. When you have a championship team that – you look at Mahomes, you look at a lot of that core, I mean – they were, you know, Watkins and Hill and Kelsey were all there in 2018 as well, right? When they went deep into the playoffs and went to the AFC Championship.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, running it back, and this will be a third straight year of basically running it back, you do worry about fatigue and you do worry about the toll on the body, right? Like, playing a lot of extra games compared to, you know, sometimes it's nice to get fresh bodies in and keep your extension, you know, keep your essential core, but then upgrade or get younger at other pieces, just because you want to, you know, it's a body factory, right? You got to get some guys that haven't been broken down by playing 18, 19 games.
Yeah, I mean, they're playing at least a couple extra every year.
Right, I mean, they played 18 in 2018, right?
Yeah, and then 19 last year.
And then 19 last year?
But, I mean, just over 2 years, I wouldn't think that has too much of an impact.
I mean, if you get to a third year though, like, I mean, if you get late in that season, that does take an impact on the bodies. You just don't see it very often, right? I mean, there's a reason that you haven't.
Patriots did it forever.
Yeah, I mean, but I would like to see because I don't think of the Patriots as the. I think of the Patriots as the thing I suggested more so than what the Chiefs are doing, right? I think of the Patriots as we kept our essential core together.
Mm-hmm.
Brady, Gronk, the McCourties, or at least the one McCourty. And I feel like the other pieces were pretty interchangeable, right? Like, they were bringing in Stephon Gilmore to replace Darrell Revis. They were bringing in a couple of different wide receivers. Now, in part because, like, you know, their wide receivers weren't very good. And in another part because, like, they were just trying to, you know, keep value there with young, underpaid guys.
They kept the essentials together.
Right, they kept the essentials. Of course, Brady, Belichick were there. Gronk was there. Some key defensive pieces. But, you know, they weren't keeping Chandler Jones there, right? I mean, they sent him to Arizona. Like, they would send some big names away to say, look, you've got wear and tear on your body. It's time to make a move. We're going to replace you with somebody who we think can do just as good of a job for cheaper. They didn't go with the sentimental route. Now, I'm not saying the Chiefs are going sentimental here because this is, you know, extenuating circumstances. This is unusual. But I don't think of the Patriots, for as long as they've had success, I don't think of them necessarily as running back the same exact team. The core, yeah. The essential core, for sure. But, I mean, just look at what happened to the Warriors, right? I mean, they kept trying to run back the same team, and you have all those extra playoff games caught up to them, and that's basketball. That's not even football with the same physical, like, toll. But, you know, they went to four straight finals. Or was it five straight finals? 16, 17, 18, 19. Four straight finals.
That seems like
15, 16, 17, 18, 19. Five straight finals. And then by the end of it, you had Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant limping around. Iguodala was hurt. Like, everyone was just, like, banged up and hurt from all the extra games for, you know, keeping the same team together for an extended period of time.
It almost seems like more of a toll just because they played so many games. I mean, I know it's not as physical, obviously, as football, but still, football, you're playing. Those are just two or three games a year,
yeah,
on one side of the ball. Like, basketball, playing in all those series for multiple,
yeah, I mean,
years like that?
You play over 100 games, basically, if you go 82 games, plus you get into at least usually 18 games in the playoffs. So, I mean, you're cracking over 100 games now.
I mean, I almost wonder if that's even more of a toll. Like, LeBron making the 8 straight finals, you know.
But see, he's the, He's the ultimate key about the Patriots, right? I mean, he kept that core fresh. He wasn't running with the same guys. He saw the Heat wear down first, and then he's like, you know what? Going to Cleveland because Kyrie, and then we'll trade for Kevin Love. Those guys are young and fresh. They'll extend my window. He got there. They did that, and he looked around and said, okay, Cleveland, I've taken them as far as I can go. Going to L.A., getting some more younger guys to help.
And yet he was still the best player through all that, which is crazy for him to have had the biggest toll, the biggest load to carry.
But like I said, they changed the guts of that team. He was smart. He just changed franchises more so than trying to get new players. He's like, you know what? I'm just going to get a new franchise. Let's keep these faces fresh.
Yeah, Patriots kept some guys around together for a long time. I was thinking about Vince Wilfork. I remember Vince Wilfork. He was there for 10 years.
They let him go at the end, too. He went to Houston, right? Didn't he end up in Houston his last couple years?
I think so, yeah. I miss watching him play.
On the surface, I mean, I think I'd have to disagree, Cody, about your wondering about the NBA having more of a toll just because we have – maybe it's not the toll. Maybe it's just the salary cap, right? You know, in large part, players on winning teams get overpaid, right?
Mm-hmm.
You usually overpay for the second receiver on a Super Bowl winning team because you're like, oh, well, if they're number two there, they can come here and be a number one. And it doesn't really work that way. Those guys get paid. Those guys retire or whatever. So – maybe it's not the wear and tear that makes the dynasties in the NFL hard. Maybe it's just like the salary cap. And the NFL is a little bit more geared to parity than the NBA. But I don't know, I feel like it's tougher to keep those good teams together. Maybe it's not the wear and tear, though. Maybe it is tougher in the NBA to have a run more than 3 years because we haven't really seen any teams four-peat, you know what I mean? 3 years, you're usually the max.
Yeah, it's
throughout history. I mean, outside of the Celtics in the 60s, like, we haven't had any four-peats. Lakers couldn't do it. Warriors couldn't do it. Celtics of the 80s couldn't do it. LeBron couldn't do it, even on different franchises.
Nobody's really done it in any sport.
Yeah, I was wondering. I didn't know if, like,
as team sports,
70s or something, if anybody had ran off. Four straight.
No hockey teams have done it. No baseball teams have
really?
Done it.
Really? No teams have won four in a row?
I mean, not that I can.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe somewhere down the line somebody did. But
we talked some Sammy Watkins. We'll talk a little college football. His coach trying to pump out the PCO today. We'll dive into that. We'll dive into the effect that this same thing we're talking about in the NFL, what it could mean for college football. Stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
Picking up a
Dabo Sweeney was pretty forthright, saying, we're going to play football. Now, I mean, he might have just been doing some speaking into existence thing, but he's like, hey, we are going to play football. That's the best scenario. And he tells us, Tigers, this is going to end really this is gonna end real soon. He does gonna instead of going to.
I was gonna say that would be Tigers.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is gonna end real soon.
Yeah. This is gonna end real soon. That's what Tigers means.
I hope they keep that going in terms of their motto, and it is reflective of their program and their little dynasty. They never really had a dynasty, but they had a, you know, they've been good every year.
They haven't had a dynasty, but they've had a really good run. You can't be I don't think you can be a dynasty when you are not the only one. Like, you are not the only power. Like, they haven't usurped Alabama's reign of terror just yet, right? I mean, like, I feel like Alabama's coming to an end, but I'm not going to say that like, Clemson is the premier. If Clemson would have won this year, they might have had a claim.
Yeah,
but they did.
They didn't beat LSU.
They didn't beat LSU. So I'm not going to even entertain the idea that they are a dynasty.
To me, they're the most. I think they're the most unlikable team in college football. That's just for me personally. I just don't like Dabo, and I don't like Trevor Lawrence.
Okay.
They're just very, very unlikable to me.
Fair enough.
But, you know, so when I hear the this is going to end real soon, I hope they keep the motto. And I hope it applies to their program. But, yeah, Dabo, he came out and said his only focus right now is players reporting to camp on time in August. He says, let's get to work and go play. That's the best case scenario, and I think that's what's going to happen. I don't have any doubt. I have zero doubt that we're going to be playing and the stands are going to be packed.
Like I said, he might just be doing a little trying to speak it into existence. He might be doing that, but he's saying they're going to play.
Well, he said he's planning only for the optimistic version of events. Despite concerns by others, the season might be delayed or canceled. He said, that's just my mindset. I got one plan. That's to get us ready to play in August, early September. I'll leave it to the smart people to figure out the doomsday scenarios. We've got one scenario, and that's to run down that hill and kick it off in the valley.
What we just talked about, I mean, is there anything else you want to say about Dabo and his PCO, like his positive outlook, his positive content? Like he, yeah. I mean, I feel like it, I feel like if you're saying that, then that means that you are preparing for that. And I think you'll have a lot of coaches saying, like, look, there's no way we're not playing football. And we've talked about this all week. It makes it really tough not to have football whenever you think about the financial implications. So Dabo went a little too far, in my opinion, of saying, like, he thinks – or I think Davo's vision. I don't think he went too far by saying it, but I think Davo's fantasy of like having, you know, Death Valley rocking as he said it, that still seems like it's going to be tough to imagine for me to like run in the fall on schedule, 100,000 people. Like we've been talking about that. I'm not seeing anything this week that makes me change my mind in that regard.
Well, Dabo's only thinking about the positivity. He refuses to look at it that way. This is America, man. He went on to say this. We've stormed the beaches of Normandy. We've sent a rover out on Mars and walked on the moon. This is the greatest country. We've created an iPhone where I can sit here and talk to people in all these different places. We got the smartest people in the world. We're going to rise up and kick this thing in the teeth and get back to our lives. Problem is, Dabo, we don't know where to kick it. Our enemy is invisible. You can't just kick it in the teeth.
But he said, hey, we got some nationalism, USA type of stuff going on there.
He seems like he would be a big patriotic guy.
USA, yeah, I mean, like, it's true, America. We don't yield, we don't back down, we don't bend the knee, don't tread on me. We're going to kick some ass.
Kind of did in Vietnam.
R.I.P. Uncle Joe.
This is an invisible enemy, though. I always think of the Jon Snow quote. Do you think about that? Because every time the president goes up and he's at the press conference and he's talking about our invisible enemy, I can't help but think of that Jon Snow quote. Our enemy doesn't tire, doesn't stop, doesn't feel. Always gives me those vibes. It's kind of what Dabo's saying. But he says we're going to kick it in the teeth.
We're going to rise up, going to kick a little ass, going to kick some ass in the USA. Gonna climb a mountain, gonna sew a flag, gonna fly on an eagle, gonna kick some butt, gonna drive a big truck. I'm gonna rule this world. Rock flag and eagle, USA, USA.
Where is that from?
Just freestyle. That was just me freestyling. Gonna kick some butt, gonna drive a big truck. That's what this country's all about.
I feel like you read that off something.
Just a freestyle. Just a little freestyle. Well, what we were talking about with the Chiefs and the NFL, how does that play out when it comes to the how you view the college football season? We'll dive into that next. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Jeremy Pruitt said the possibility of not having summer camps for prospects is a lot like what the NFL is going through right now, just a lot of watching tape. We have to gather as much info we can so we can move forward. You have to have a board. What the hell does that mean?
I don't know. Do you see his quote about what we're doing right now?
No. What did he say?
Jesse tweeted out, how much is Tennessee focusing on football right now?
Yeah.
And Jeremy Pruitt said, we're doing very little.
Well.
So that's good.
Well, Nick Saban had a quote. Basically, he was like, look, we don't have to have practice. We don't have to be hitting. Right now, we can just focus on instruction and, like, directing and, like, teaching plays and things like that. So I wonder if, like, Jeremy Pruitt means they're doing very little in terms of, like, team stuff? Or, like, his team is just doing very little, like, in general?
We're not doing much right now. We're just kind of taking it easy, waiting on this to pass. I don't know. Saban's got them hooked up on Apple Watches down there. They're, like, monitoring their activity levels. Did you see that?
In what regard?
Well, they have some guy who, I don't know, I guess he got everybody. They've all got Apple Watches, and they've got, like, programs that they track and monitor workouts and the watches and the training schedule of its players while they're away from campus. So their strength and conditioning staff is using Apple Watches to track and monitor their workouts. Basically telling them what to do and then, I guess, monitoring their activity levels.
So being able to see if they're actually doing it?
Yeah. Using technology to their advantage.
Using technology to kind of keep them under surveillance or hold them accountable as well, right?
Yeah, and they said that they've got apps on their phones for weight training programs. We had issues with some players not having a place to work out because high schools are closed.
Yeah, I mean, like, what do you do right now if you are trying to, like, work out, especially like, in this, especially, like, the way that you're having to work out for college football. Like, people are struggling just finding a way to, like, weightlift as civilians. But, I mean, like, I can't imagine the workout regime is similar to that of a D1 athlete. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like they need a lot more equipment and a lot more space.
Alabama says they put them on band workouts.
So just all bands?
Using a lot of bands.
Elasticity and, like, the flexibility and stuff like that?
I guess so.
Some light resistant stuff?
You don't need weights to work out. You know, you ever see these prisoners? The guys that don't have the weights, they just do push-ups all day?
They got weights in the gym, bro. Or they got weights in prison, bro.
Yeah, but you get the idea.
You never seen the movies, like, where they're out there bench pressing in the yard?
But they only get the yard time. Like an hour a day or something, don't they?
How long people spend in a gym? Like,
yeah, but those guys are doing push-ups in their cells.
They're probably doing a lot of push-ups and pull-ups too. But I do think they have weights as well. At least in the movies I've seen. I don't know. Like, I'm picturing, like, you know, they're out there in the yard.
They probably do. But the point is, you don't have to.
Then
have
somebody
that.
Beats the other guy with the weight, and then they lose the weight privileges for a while. So that would probably hurt, like, keeping on a strict routine.
The point is, you can use your body weight.
Imagine that you've got beef in the yard, and they come up behind you while you're bench pressing, and they just hold the bar down on you, and none of your boys are there to
that would suck.
Save you.
That would suck.
I know.
Just get crushed.
They just slot it down your neck, and then you're just stuck, and they kill you right there.
Better get real strong real quick.
That's why you got to join a gang. That's why you got to join a gang to always have spotters to have someone have your back, you know?
It's really important to have spotters when you're lifting weights.
And spotters to make sure no one's sneaking up behind you.
You should never lift alone. Not if you're doing big weight.
Yeah.
Maybe if you're just doing an easy workout, you know, throwing around 225 or something. But not if you're doing big weight. I'd like to get back into lifting. We should get us a bench and some free weights out here.
Just outside?
Put them out in the yard.
Treat it like a prison?
Yeah.
I would love
it looks like a prison here. Anyway.
I would love for us to find a concrete company to, like, build us a whole, like, basketball court and everything out there.
We got all that space out there.
We got the space for it, and I'm sure, like, it would help. I'm sure eventually it would, like, pay for itself with the lack of gas you're using in your lawnmower to have to, like, go and mow everything eventually. I mean,
all we need is a few bags of Quikrete.
We could have our own little campus here. We got a lot of stuff. Got a lot of room.
I don't know why we don't do it. We have so much space out in the yard.
We got wide open spaces.
We do nothing. Just use it to mow. We should be using that area for something.
We had goats a couple times. We had a couple goats one time.
I mean, we should get horses out there or something.
Nah, I don't like horses.
Do something with it. You know, build a go-kart track, a basketball court, something.
A go-kart track?
I mean, we got to do something. We got all this green
space.
It's
too flat to have a go-kart track. The thing about a go-kart track is you have to have hills and bumps.
Not necessarily. You have a flat go-kart track.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, you can't.
You gotta have trees or something out there to have obstacles.
I mean, you just need banking and curves.
A wide open.
Trees as obstacles. What, you hit it in the go-kart?
You got to, yeah. I mean, how fast can you go? You got to have it close. You got to have things to turn. You need dirt tracks for go-karts.
Well, that doesn't mean you got to have hills. You just need some embankments.
You got to have obstacles. Have you never seen heavyweights, bro? You see what they race on? That's a go-kart track.
You may need embankments. You're thinking of a dirt bike track.
I'm thinking of heavyweights when they literally have a go-kart race. And I'm thinking about the go-kart my cousin used to have. And we'd go through his woods, and he had a nice trail. He had a nice path built out. We were racing, and you have to deal with obstacles. You got hills. You got a shortcut over here. You got things. You can't just have a circle.
Well, no.
You can't just have a circle.
Well, you can have turns with embankment.
Where do you get the embankment from? In a flat field.
You build it up. You build the track up.
So what do you mean you build
dirt.
It up? We're digging in the ground now?
You bring in dirt or you, yeah. You
or
do.
We're now, so now you've made it all complicated where we're having to bring in dirt.
Well, you may need to bring in some dirt. Well, not necessarily. I don't know what you do, but
you don't have
a hills.
Flat field. That's what. That's the biggest point.
You don't have hills.
You have to have obstacles or hills or something. Yes, you do.
No, you don't. You can do it flat. You just need a little embankment
of the
curves.
You would have the worst go-kart track in the history of go-kart tracks.
Just
a flat circle.
Mine would be, it would be a circle with embankment in the curves, and I'd bring
embankment
in dirt.
Embankment in the curves.
I'd bring in dirt for the embankments.
Embankment in the curves.
Yeah, it would be just like a NASCAR track.
Yeah, that's fun. That would be really fun
it would be fun,
That's
actually.
The idea of go-karts is to just have a NASCAR track.
It
yeah.
actually would be fun. Yeah, you go around in circles and race against the other guy. I'd wreck you.
Have you ever
put
seen
you
a,
in the wall.
Have you ever been to a go-kart track?
Yes, I drove go-karts when I was a kid.
How many of them were just a circle?
Most of them.
I've never been to a circle go-kart track.
They're just like dirt tracks.
I've never been to a circle go-kart track.
Well, you must not know then about them.
In Pigeon Forge, they got loops. They got things you got to go around. You go up and down hills.
Yeah, but the hills, you don't necessarily need like big hills. You can have a flat go-kart track too. They're not dirt bikes. You're not getting air.
Celebration Station had turns and hills.
I remember Celebration Station. Was that in Farragut, right?
No, Cedar Bluff.
Okay.
You might be thinking of Sir Goonies.
Well, no, I went when I was a kid, when I didn't live here. Like, we would come here.
When you go like past Cedar Bluff there. And you see those hotels, that's where Celebration Station used to be.
Yeah.
Like those new hotels.
I remember, we went there. Like, they had arcade games and stuff.
I spent a lot of weekends at Celebration Station. That was... Yeah. Strong divorced dad energy from my dad. That's where his wife now, but like when they would go on dates, she had kids the same age as me. We would go to Celebration Station and they would do their own thing and we would go play. That was strong divorced dad energy, but those were their dates. Celebration Station.
I remember that being fun.
It was always fun because he would just give us all types of money to go play because he was trying to max. So like we had unlimited money to go do whatever we wanted, just had tickets on deck. Now, I will say I got screwed out of the tickets. I had the foresight, but I had no leverage as a kid because, like I said, she had my stepmom now, had kids my age, so we'd play all these games together and quote-unquote pull our tickets. Well, guess who got to keep the tickets? It wasn't my dad. It was the stepmom who got to pull the tickets, and then just all of a sudden magically disappeared / got cashed in, and I was nowhere to be found there.
No, that's a shame.
I was completely cut out. Completely cut out of the Celebration Station loop.
It's so funny you mentioned that place because I remember going as a kid like that. I was looking forward to it because when we would come over here for games, I was always like, I remember asking if we were going to go to the go-kart place.
And I had perfected the scam of stealing tickets. When you put them in the system, you stop them once they get three-fourths of the way through. You pull them back out. You can let them back in again. They count twice. You pull them back out. Now, you can only do that a couple times before, like, people, like, start, you know, you can only do it a couple times, right? You can steal basically 150 tickets per cash in, but you can't go much further than that. But I was just in there letting the tickets go in. Stop. Pull them back out. Let them go back in. Stop. Next thing I knew, my, 44 tickets had registered as 220.
Man, whatever happened to that place?
It's all a bunch of hotels now.
Now they got it. At one point, was it called the Zuma Fun Center?
It was called the Zuma Fun Center.
Was that after? That must have been after Celebration Station.
Yes, it was after Celebration Station. I think I went to the Zuma Fun Center one time with a girl. We went to play putt-putt.
Oh, I remember.
And it was not very fun, so I could see why it went out of business. They had not kept it up.
I remember seeing that place. When did they? So it's by all those hotels in Cedar Bluff.
It's right there, literally off the interstate at Cedar Bluff, like where you.
Right, but where did they?
You know, like where the Outback Steakhouse is over there, and like the Olive Garden, and like the furniture store.
But
like
when
it's
was
over there.
When did they build?
I mean, the Celebration Station was gone. Like, I mean, all the years are running together these days. But I feel like 2012 or so. Okay. Like when I went was like 2000. Last time I went was like 2010. And it closed down shortly after that. So I'm going to say by 2012, it was no more.
Just to build an Olive Garden, huh? I think it's a Carrabba's.
There's, I want to say there's both over there. I mean, there's like multiple things, but maybe there's.
Yeah, there might be.
I mean, where K-Town Tavern is, and there's an Outback, and I'm pretty sure there's an Olive Garden over there too, but maybe.
Maybe there is. There's definitely a Carrabba's.
There is a Carrabba's over there. You are 100% correct. Maybe there's not an Olive Garden, but there's multiple things over there. Yeah, you used to see it from the interstate. RIP to Celebration Station.
Is there nowhere like that now? I mean, where do the kids go to?
Pigeon Forge.
Got to go all the way over there.
It's a 30-minute drive.
Yeah, but still, you got to go all the way over there. I mean, isn't there a new place, you know, where they had that big indoor go-kart track
up
there?
Yeah, it's just indoor stuff. But the go-karts there are like speed go-karts, and I went there one time, and it was just like trial runs. You just race the clock, pretty much.
So those are adult go-karts?
Yeah, but they'll only let a couple people on at one time. And you have to have a lot of distance because they're so fast and it's like a small track.
Yeah.
So really you're just racing to see who can get the fastest laps. It's like just like qualifying basically.
Well, they used to have those like NASCAR speed parks where you would.
Well, yeah, but not.
You got to actually race against people in the fast go-karts, like adults.
Yeah, yeah.
And you could.
I got in trouble in one of those at Myrtle Beach one time.
Yeah, you had to sign a waiver, I think.
I didn't get to go to the biggest one, but like the second biggest one. I wasn't old enough yet. I was only in like eighth or ninth grade, I think. But we got in trouble, kicked off, and. There's a whole thing.
Did you wreck somebody?
I don't think I did, but my person I was with, he got me in a lot of trouble.
Did you hurt him?
There was just a whole thing.
Serious?
For legal reasons, I can't further talk about it, other than saying it was just a whole thing. Okay? Hour one of the books, hour two on deck. We'll kick it off with headlines. We're going to do another music battle today. Cam, you got those ready to go?
Yeah, I'm finishing it up. I'll have it done.
Sure. Yeah, we'll do it at some point in hour two. What do we go if we go with same concept?
Yeah.
Rock versus hip-hop? Okay. Sounds good. We'll do that in an hour or two. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
My name is